Just thinking about the sort of one of the big changes, obviously, that's happened in dairy farming, well, in any sort of livestock farming, has been the change in grassland management.
Well, the biggest thing for us was when quotas came in.
Yeah.
We, you know, you were allocated quotas, because I know it was a separate thing when we sold the farm, the quota was a separate entity. That was sold on its own, because, you know, the more quota you'd got, the more you could milk. And that was probably the start of people increasing the herds.
Right.
I suppose that was the first nail in the coffin, really, wasn't it? And then getting rid of the milk marketing board as well.
Yeah.
Because you just knew that you've got to check every month. I mean, obviously it did go up and down, it did fluctuate, but the price, as it does now. When we were farming, we farmed and we didn't have subsidies. There were no subsidies when my dad farmed. There were still no subsidies when he left. And you shouldn't really have to rely on subsidies to farm, should you?
Some might argue that very strongly. Would you like to see us return to something a little bit more self-sufficient in that way?
Well, yeah. I mean, with my husband being a contractor and being in farming ourselves, we get magazines. And there's one that comes from John Deere. It's quite interesting, but it's worldwide. And I can't get my head around why in Finland they've got 30 cattle, they've all got robotic milkers, they've all got viewing platforms, and they make a living. Yet here, you've got to have hundreds of cows to make a living. Doesn't make sense.
What's
to me.
Gone wrong?
Doesn't
What's
make sense,
wrong?
Does it?
No. So just tell me about what you remember in, like, the when the traditional haymaking changed. Did your dad keep that going for quite a while?
Oh yeah, I did for a long, long time. It was, you know, we were making hay.
For how long, can you remember?
And we always made some hay. Even when he was silaging, we made some hay, because young stock do better on hay. It's easier to feed calves hay, because, I mean, ours obviously was clamp silage. Yeah, we always made hay, because it was, I mean, you only make hay on the hottest days, don't you? Mm. and my dad was one of these, he used to screw the baler up.
Oh.
So the bales were just like lead.
Oh, God, really tight.
But I can't remember ever getting a bale out in the winter and it being mouldy.
Right.
I mean, yeah, some people say, well, that's too green. Maybe green, but if it's young, like June hay, it will be green and it will be the best hay that you'll ever have. I mean, you just want to eat it yourself, because when you open it up,
the
smell is still
incredible,
there.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
I'd really like to talk to you a little bit more about hay, because obviously this is at the heart of so many of our wildlife losses, and of course, you know, it's caused a lot of devastation to, you know, pollinators, to a wide range of insects, and obviously farmland birds, which have hit an all-time low throughout Europe, and they're in desperate trouble now. And obviously the finger points very much at one area, the switch to silage. Is that something that you noticed at all as a young person?
While we've been here, we've made hay, but I mean, obviously the years are getting wetter, the ground's getting wetter, because it's never stopped raining now, does it?
It's a funny mix, isn't it?
Yeah.
The weather patterns are not as they were. We know that for sure.
So what we tend to do is make haylage, which is your grass is cut, it's wilted, it's moved. So you are putting the seed back. You know, it's not like just cutting in the morning and picking it up at lunchtime, which is a lot what they do. And also, this mass slurry, I do not agree with that, because I mean, I walk the dogs a lot, and I walk on slurry ground, and it's just dreadful.
Can you remember when your dad first started moving over, or even when the surrounding farmers started drilling and, or even, you know, ploughing up and losing the hay meadows and going over to silage? Can you remember when that happened?
Well, we used to plough. Obviously, we ploughed because we'd got crops,
yeah,
which you have to do.
Sure.
And it was.
But I'm thinking some of your hay meadows.
Oh no, we never.
You kept them as hay right through.
Yeah, yeah.
But you did grow some silage as well.
Oh yeah, we did do some clamp silage, but that was wilted. I mean, we had wild orchids on our ground, so it wasn't. You know, it was nothing was intensive.
What about the waders? Did you get curlew and lapwings?
Oh yeah, yeah. But I mean, very lucky around here. I mean, every time I walk across our field, you put the snipe up.
Really?
And there's some ground down here, which is now horse ground. Yeah. But there must be about 60 lapwings, and they all hatched out down there.
Really?
Yeah, seriously. They're amazing. They come most afternoons round. They're still about. Curlews, yeah, we get the curlew down there. Skylarks up on the top here. We're very lucky around here. Very lucky. And we've got so many birds of prey as well, which I think... I mean, I once wrote a letter into the Countryman because there was an article that Tony Blair was blaming the farmers, and it isn't all the farmers. They've protected the predators. Our bird table at one time, it was just like Tesco's for the sparrowhawk, and yeah, it was dreadful.
I think badgers have done untold harm to ground nesting birds. I really think that's the case, but it's certainly true that, you know, the loss of our hay meadows, because we're now down to something like 1% or something of what was here in 1950. You know?
But I mean, when you get the
huge losses,
get the conservationists, all they want you to do is get yellow rattle. Well, they call it the vampire grass because it just takes over and it does kill out all the clovers and everything. I mean, here, when I had my own cattle, it was very rare I used any vaccines or anything, because I think that if you've got pure ground, which ours was, I think they can cure themselves if they get an ill, because they just know what they can eat, cure themselves.
It's not for no reason that little yellow clover is called Black Medic, is it? You know what I mean?
That's right.
It is. They self-medicate with the substances that are in those mixed herbs, and certainly all those. So can you remember sort of range of the plants? Did you get vetches and all those things?
Oh yeah, and all we did, we had here. Even if you make silage out of it, you know, haylage, you can still see them because you've let it wilt, you've let the seeds gone back into the ground, and it's just like opening up a somebody's pressed flower book, isn't it, you know? Which is amazing, really.
It's a lovely way to put it, actually.
Well, yeah. It's a lovely way to put it.
It is just
like a, you know, pressed flowers, isn't it? Because that's what they are, because they just...
The hay meadow is what we grew up with, and it was just... They were magic, weren't they? Magical places. I mean, all the buzzing.
Well, I mean, here, every year I get the damselflies.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
Which ones do you get?
The green and... Well, I had a red one as well.
The turquoise ones, and the red ones, yeah.
I mean, when they were on about these massive farms, I said to my husband, I'm not totally against massive farms, because at the end of the day, the massive farm has got to think about how much money. So the cows are going to be really well looked after. If they're going the size that they were on about going, they'd have a vet, wouldn't they, there constantly, somebody checking. And they would probably be better looked after than some of the farms that I've been to with my husband.
Yeah, well, that's what I've heard said, that they're not going to... You can't run it on that scale without constant care.
No, you can't.
Actually.
You know, and they're all well, you know, they're well strawed. Because, I mean, if cows aren't comfortable, they will not milk.
Mm. We've lost in enormous numbers, you know, obviously. They were in terrible trouble. The lapwing and the curlew were in terrible trouble. I heard my first skylark singing yesterday. They do get off, don't they, in February?
So it's 2 weeks ago, I heard.
Oh, really? Really?
Yeah, I was down on the track, on the old track down there.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, because I thought, spring is not far.
Yeah,
got the skylark.
Yeah. So what do you think about, you know, the way things are going in the future? Do you applaud the way things are going, or do you think it's kind of going to hell in a handcart kind of thing?
Well, some things are getting better and some things are getting worse. I mean, it's like my husband now. I don't know if he does any contracting for any real farmers. They're all got another job, or they're getting older, or, you know, people are just dying out and farmers can't afford to buy the farms, can they?
I spend a lot of time talking to people about how we join up, and that's partly what this project is about, in a way, is about there being a greater flow of understanding and ideas between conservationists and farmers. How do you think that we can ever turn that sort of dialogue around to make it a little bit more productive? Because there's a lot of sort of mutual antagonism, which you'll know all about.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, I mean, when you think back to my dad, which, you know, I mean, we didn't have subsidies, and subsidies do govern You know, because if you do this, then you're not going to get that money. And if you don't do this, you know. So, but my father and his brother, they farmed responsibly. And they weren't, you know, there was no carrot dangling on the end of a string at the end of it. You do what is best for you, don't you? And I think that the people are forced into doing things that they don't want to do, really. It's like one year, because when we first came in, we were in the ESA, and the ground's so wet, and if you don't do anything with it, it just doesn't produce. I mean, you've got your cows, you know, so it's a vicious circle. So we rang up, and he said, oh, I don't know about it. So Jim says, well, look, he says, we've only got moss growing at the moment. If you don't just let me go through with the chain arrows, just to... Anyway, he did let us. He said, well, if you can just minimise and do this and... But within half an hour, and my husband going out, everybody was out with the chain arrows.
Oh, right. So this was talking to Natural England.
Yeah, it was Sam Hugo. Do you remember him?
No.
He was one of the pioneers of the ESA. But he could talk to him, but some of them, they've no farming background at all, so they don't understand. I mean, like that, if we hadn't had letters, I mean, I wouldn't have had any silage haylage, hay, anything for the cows.
Because they were so sodden.
Yeah, it needs livening up.
It needs lifting.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you're not going to go over and, you know, make a, it's like the top ground that we've got. That was virtually dead, so we just had somebody to come in with I can't think what the word is now, but he just sort of took the top, and then we just bought some old-fashioned seed and put that back on again. It wasn't in the ESA, that ground wasn't, but they wouldn't have let us do that. But I thought we were making it better by doing what we did. But you see, a lot of people think they're doing a good job. Like on the top, somebody's put a load of trees in. Well, you will not get curlews and lapwings if there's trees, because the crows and the magpies sit in the trees and...
That's right. It's having the right kind of open ground, and where they know that they want to be, that's where they'll try and come back. But
I was amazed when, because that ground down there was where the horses are. It's just so trodden up. It's awful.
And yet they're there.
Because I thought, you know, the very first time, I spotted them, and they nested there. So the horses must have left them alone.
Amazing.
But they do. Most afternoons they come up here, round the top, and land on the fields. And there's about 60 of them.
Fantastic. One thing that makes me feel very sad, sort of hearing what you're saying, is that, you know, the very first thing you said, there's no one left going to take this on. So, you know, all that experience and knowledge and understanding and love, actually, investment.
Yeah, it's gone.
Why is it, you know,
what are we
going to do without that?
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of farmers' sons that won't want to do it, will they? Because three parts of them are, you've just got to get a pen out. You know, they spend so much time ticking boxes, don't they? This country spends far too many time, too much time ticking boxes, don't they?
The bureaucracy bedevils a lot of farmers, doesn't it? It's just too much.
But it's in everything. It's in all walks of life, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just...